Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hello and welcome to the Karsh and Anderson program. Doug Karsh, that is Scott Anderson. 97.1 the ticket. Gator, thank you for holding down the fort yesterday.
Oh, sure.
No problem. Came into the office and then learned of a bit of a COVID scare in the family and scheduling conflicts. And mom and dad need a little bit of help. And so took care of business. I have tested. I have no symptoms. All good. But I just, you know, it was one of those days where real world problems got in the way. And made it all work.
So. That's all right.
Yep.
Do what the responsible adult is supposed to do.
It happens. So
you missed some yelling.
So, dude, that's what the weird thing is. I was thinking about it Monday driving home. The yelling, I guess, is just, it's just what happens when a season comes to an end, is especially where the difference between the way it ends and the way the expectation was is so great. People get mad. They get really, really mad. And I guess Kang took his rule to the air yesterday. He's going to give people a week to get out all the irrational over-the-top hot takes.
Yeah. And I understand
I think
that.
I think it's pretty fair and pretty mature for the youngest guy on the show to bring up. I'm proud of you, Kang, because you're right. Let people vent.
Well, I do understand the show can be therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Get it out. Get it all out. And then at some point, you've got to turn the page and say, okay, here we go. And I thought it's interesting because Dan Campbell is clearly in that spot right now, which is great because you expect the coach to be in that spot. And look, he's got things he's got to worry about right now. He's got to fill out a coaching staff, apparently, because offensive coordinator is gone. The defensive coordinator is reportedly negotiating a deal. And defensive line coach is apparently going to be the DC with Mike Vrabel in New England.
Which
and you might see others go.
Which brings to mind something that is a bit of a concern is that, what were there, 7 head coaching positions available?
Yes, I think there were 6 or 7, 1 or 2.
Okay, you're relative to that and other shuffling, you know, I hope that Dan Campbell used some time during the week off to lay the foundation for, you know, if they're going to bump up Calvin Shepard, they're going to need a linebacker coach, right? I mean, you're mm-hmm. going to have to, like, I hope that, because I feel like some staffs have come up short when they have to be hired late in the cycle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because many of the top available guys get picked over and now you're scrambling with what's left. Now, it's, they have the most important thing here, okay? They've got the roster. They've got the roster. And as much as it sucks to lose one and probably both coordinators here, having the roster is not a small thing. It's the biggest thing you can have. They got the players. And the second best thing they can have is they got the GM that can help restock the players. And, you know, I don't want to discount how much losing these two guys are, but Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn aren't the only good offensive and defensive minds available.
No, I'm really not concerned about losing the coordinators. You start to get a little bit more concerned when you see more coaches being poached and given other opportunities elsewhere to become coordinators. like, for instance, we know that it seems that Terrell Williams is going to go to New England to be the DC. He's the defensive line coach here. Dan Campbell called him best defensive line coach in the league, and now he's going to move up to be a defensive coordinator with the Patriots. Okay, fair enough. That's one spot. Now we're going to have to shuffle and look there, and then you hear about Hank Fraley interviewing a second interview, in-person interview with Seattle. He's the offensive line coach, but they're interviewing him for the offensive coordinator position, and you can understand why, with all the success the Lions have had as an offense, that you want to go from that tree. If you're not going to get Ben Johnson, how about, you know, finding his one of his guys? He's not necessarily Ben Johnson guy. He's a Dan Campbell guy. But if they lose Hank Fraley, that's another tough loss, right? Because then you're starting to lose the depth guys that you were hoping maybe you could elevate at some point. And they're also very well and respected coaches. But I think that Dan Campbell and every other head coach in the league, they've got a list of guys they keep. They're always keeping tabs on people. You know, when one coaching staff gets fired, that just means that they can get hired throughout the league, that those coaches will find other jobs, typically. You've got the world of college football to go to as well, if you want to dip into that. Well, I mean, Wink Martindale's interviewing for defensive coordinator jobs in the NFL, and, you know, it's just one name to bring up. They've got a myriad of choices. But I always was curious as to, like, how big is this list, this fabled list that the coaches are supposed to have when it comes to coaches? Yeah.
It's a good question. But look, they've got players. They got the GM.
Yep.
They got a head coach.
Yep.
They've got still a ton of motivation. I mean,
every motivation in the world. They're close.
The one of the things I loved about talking to Chuck Daly back in the day, during the early 2000s, the Pistons, we had Chuck Daly on once a week, and he had this theory, and he called it, you know, that the Pistons ran out of big games under him. And you, when you are trying to get to the mountaintop, you are motivated by big games. And when you get to the mountaintop and you win a championship, let alone when you win two in a row, you're kind of running out of big games. And by that, there are big games, don't get me wrong. But those challenges, those boxes that haven't been checked, go away. And intrinsically, you cannot match the desperation and the motivation of a team that hasn't checked those boxes. And they've still got that here in Detroit. And look, it's a positive spin in terms of what it's going to mean for next year. Because I think it's not even a positive spin. It's something I actually believe in. As you are trying, it's the motivation, the incentive, the deep burning desire to get to the top is more true than trying to repeat in every sport. You want to repeat. You want to make history. You want to do all those things. But when you haven't won a championship and when you don't have that ring, that's the greatest motivator there is.
Yeah.
I mean, other than financial incentives, which, you know, because they are professionals and this is their livelihood.
Yeah, and look, this is two bitter years to lose. The 17-point lead at halftime of the NFC Championship game in San Francisco a year ago is bitter. And they, you know, went into the offseason. They knew what they had to fix. They addressed things quickly and dramatically with the secondary, reworking it with the trades, draft picks, and free agent signings. They looked like they shored up areas on this team, went into the preseason, we felt pretty good about where this team was going to be. And then, you know, from moment one, we start seeing injuries. And that sucks. They persevered. They went through it all, win 15 games in the regular season, set records all along the way. They look fantastic, even though they're playing without key players. And I think, you know, this wasn't something that was in the back of our mind. You always wondered when the defense was going to, you know, the luck was going to run out because they're just too much to overcome. I think it was more than that. I think it was always like every game you look at, there's a real percentage chance that that could be the game where it happens. And it finally came to fruition on Saturday night, in part because there were a couple more catastrophic injuries to the team. So that's the motivation too, because the first part you mentioned about the roster, the roster is there. All right. Is it a perfect roster? No, it's not a perfect roster, but it's damn close. You know, if Hutchinson's healthy, you've got the pass rusher you're looking for. You know, if McNeil is healthy, you've got the run stuffer in the middle that you're looking for. If Carlton Davis is healthy, you've got more stability in the secondary. It's all these things, and every team has to deal with different types of injuries and at different times, but for the Lions, it was just way too much. So at least they know they have the roster. And now going into the offseason, they know they've got some money they can spend and maybe fill some other holes that they have or do something dramatic and really try to do something over the top that puts them in that mix again to be contending for a Super Bowl. But I already think the roster's there to be contending for the Super Bowl. It's a question of, can they stay healthy?
Got a question about Ben Johnson we will get to today at 10:18 here on Carson Anderson on a Wednesday here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, they are Lions fans all year long at UMCU, the official credit union of the Detroit Lions. What an epic season. Not only did the Lions clinch back-to-back NFC North championship, but some of our guys like Jahmyr Gibbs, shattered the record for the most touchdowns in a single season. And to celebrate, UMCU has a great offer for you. Right now, earn 4% on CDs. That's right. Secure your funds and watch your savings grow with confidence. As much as we are confident that the Lions will be back and have a chance to do it all over again, you can be confident in this deal from UMCU. Celebrate the Lions with 4% on CDs at UMCU, and you only need $1,000 to get started. Promotion is available for a limited time, so join the winning team today. I did. It's quick. It's easy. It's convenient. Visit umcu.org. That's umcu.org. Some restrictions do apply. Okay, so look, we see reaction out there when Ben Johnson takes the Bears job. And one of the reactions that seems to be quite prevalent is people are mad at him. People are mad at him. And I guess our question today on this bitterly cold day in Metro Detroit is it fair to be mad at Ben Johnson? As Kang said, and he's right, this is a week where people will vent and we'll hear some pretty crazy hot takes on the Lions. But is it fair to be mad at Ben Johnson? Because there people are going to forward this idea that he was distracted, which the only people that really know that are probably Ben Johnson and maybe some people on the line staff. And if anybody reports it or has reported it, we've missed it. But I haven't seen any credible reporting that that's the case.
I think that's preposterous. First of all, should anybody be mad at Ben Johnson? Abso-frickin-lutely not. No way.
But did you hear what he said? This is where I want to be.
He wants to be
exactly
a head coach.
Exactly where I want to be.
He wants to be a head coach. No kidding.
But he said it about Chicago. Look, I'm just expressing. Let me be clear here. I'm expressing some of the things that we've seen out there.
Yeah.
Really, you really want to be in Chicago?
Well, is there such thing as coach speak?
Well,
you know, you say things in public when you get a new job. Hey, I couldn't be happier to be right here in the middle of Dayton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Greatest city on earth. You know, I don't care what he says. I love the time that he was here because he was damn good at what he did. It was innovative. It was fun. And it doesn't bother me in the least anything he's going to say. Unless he starts disparaging his time in Detroit, well, then it's he can go do some certain things to himself. But as far as, being mad at him, no. How can you be mad at a guy who's taking a job to do what he wants to do, which is be a head coach? And he's got 13 million reasons a year.
That's the reported salary.
To go do it. Who's going to turn that down? On a team, by the way, in Chicago, that has a lot of offensive talent to work with, I think it makes sense for him. Now, the part that all of us were like, does he really want to go to Chicago, is because the front office is a mess. But if he goes there and he's comfortable with his meetings, with what they've told him, how they're going to change, what they're going to do differently, the power that he has. And then, of course, the biweekly check or the bi-monthly check that he's going to get, you know, that's just fine. Let him go. Do I think he was distracted? No. What would be, show me an example in Saturday's game where, you know, Ben Johnson was distracted. Did Ben Johnson throw the pick six? Did Ben Johnson say, Jared Goff, you've got to throw the ball in the back of the end zone at the end of the first half that Sain was still picked off? I mean, the play call on third and one where Goff gets hit and fumbles it, that's not Ben Johnson's fault. It's a play he's called all season long. You know, digging into his bag of tricks and having Jamison Williams potentially throw a pass. I'm pretty sure that Jamison Williams was told before that play, if it's not there, throw it away or tuck it and run. That's not on Ben Johnson. Nothing in the game Saturday tells me he was distracted. Now, is it logical to think that at some point, you know, between the time that he interviewed with the Bears and then during his prep work for the game on Saturday night, that his mind could have drifted elsewhere at some points? Sure. Do I think it happened actually on Saturday night? No. I think once you get into the game, you are locked in on the game.
So, I mean, the things that I have seen, okay, include he was distracted and, you know, there's, you know, he so quickly took this job. He had one foot out the door. He might pillage our staff. And here's the other thing. We don't always have to be fair, right? I mean, part of being a fan is, now do you want to beat Chicago even more? I don't really, no, not necessarily, but I think that, you know, that it's okay to be mad and say, okay, I don't like this guy anymore. He is the coach of the Chicago Bears. We're not saying you have to root for him, but is it fair to be mad at Ben Johnson? 248-539-9797. And let me point something out. On Monday's show, I made a comment about, I know this is irrational. I understand that it's irrational, but I did not want to hear about anything. This is the first trip for the Washington franchise back to the NFC title game since right. Whatever. And it was because, you know, it's implying that it's been a long time since that team has had success. But that team has raised the Lombardi Trophy. That organization has raised the Lombardi Trophy. There are people in that fan base that aren't like in their 70s or 80s that remember winning a Super Bowl. So don't tell me how long they've waited. It's completely irrelevant to a fan base that has waited forever. You know, and so...
Right, so you alienate one fan base, but everybody else understands. But my point, that's where it's irrational.
I admitted it's irrational, but it irritated the living crap out of me to hear about how long Washington's waited between success. When the wait, anybody's wait in the NFL is less than our wait. And so, you know, I admit, and maybe with a fan that is, you know, mad at Ben Johnson, maybe they do admit, okay, this is a bit irrational. However, I'm mad at Ben Johnson.
I'm not mad at Ben Johnson. I totally understand why he left. If I were Ben Johnson, I would have took the Bears job as well, or at least left the Lions for another, you know, for a head coaching job somewhere else. With that being said, I think if you're a fan, you're allowed to be mad. That's the point of being a fan.
Would it have been less if he took a job other than the Bears?
Yes. Yeah. That's another part of being a fan. I think the fan hat is on and they go, listen, dude, you're going to leave. Okay, I kind of get it. We see this coming. But if you stay in the division, you're slapping me in the face as a fan. What are you doing? And that's how fans think. That's the fun part and not so fun part about being a fan, guys, is you are allowed to be somewhat irrational because the only thing you really care about is the team success, the team that you are rooting for. How does this affect me and my team?
248-539-9797. Ken is in Taylor and I 97 won the ticket. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought there's another Ken. I'm not in Taylor. But what's up, fellas? How's it going?
We're good.
I kind of feel like it's egregious if you're upset with him. I think people fail to realize how spoiled and blessed we've been. We expected maybe one, maybe both of them last year, but they saw the success, they were on the precipice, and they ran it back. That's unusual. And then Gator, you kind of touch on it, 13 million reasons. With all due respect, if you tell me tomorrow, King, we're going to move him out and put you in there, Ken, for $13 million. I'm going to ask you when you're clearing King's stuff out, even though he seems like a good guy. You know what I mean? I'll take the job. I think the thing is, you know, people are hurting. So emotionally, they're not strong. They expected to be in the Super Bowl, and you lose in the divisional round at home. And it was a collapse. It's not his fault. It's not anybody's fault. It does sting a little more that he's in the division because he knows what's going on in this building. But you know what? It's just going to make it that much sweeter when we beat him every year. So I can't wish him well because he's in the division, but he absolutely did what anybody else would do.
What a great point about how we're all emotionally vulnerable right now to unfair takes, and that's, you're right. The emotions have led to this week being what it is and what it's probably going to be for a while here.
Yeah, I mean, what was the expectation? Like, the fact he came back last year, I was shocked.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that, you know, everyone was like, this is the year, they didn't, now they're leaving, it's just piling on to the hurt. It's going to be fine. The organization's in a good place. And again, just to reiterate, it's going to be that much sweeter when we beat them. You fellas have a good day.
Hey, thank you, Ken. 248-539-9797. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Ken just said. I mean, for $75 million, I don't know how loyal I'm going to be to pretty much anybody. But and you can kind of look at it with the division too, because no one's really mad at Aaron Glenn. Like, it seems like he's about to take this Jets job from like what I'm hearing over here. But, like, we're not mad at Aaron Glenn. But I can promise that first like trick play that Ben Johnson runs against us, like, I just know from watching this team, the first snap of their first offensive drive in their first play against us, he's absolutely going to run some trick play that's going to piss off every one of us as fans.
I think I would agree with it. The one thing that I would say that the fans have a right to be a little miffed at is that it's the Bears' job. Any other job, be out of the division, and okay, I'll wish you a little bit well, and if we ever meet up in the game, then, you know, we'll root against you. But otherwise, you know, you be you. But the fact that he took the Bears' job, now it's like, all right, well, congratulations on getting the job. Now you're persona non grata here in Detroit.
Yeah, no, I think that actually absolutely jumps the Bears to number one enemy in the division now. I'm just curious, though, do you guys – I figured we were losing Ben Johnson and Glenn. I'm more worried now. I mean, we just lost our D-line coach to the Patriots. I'm actually more worried about the ripple effect of that in the organization. Do you guys think that's – I'm just being dramatic?
Yeah, no. The team loves Hank Fraley. This offensive line loves Hank Fraley, their offensive line coach. And he may be gone. Like, there's a lot of very difficult hires that are going to have to be made. I mean, I guess, you know, the GM and the head coach have had time to think about this. They have had time to put a line of succession in place for every assistant coach. So it's not catching them off guard. And hopefully they had feelers out before all this happened that they can let people know, hey, we will have interest if this job opens up and we expect it to open up. So sit tight. And you know, given their ability to put one staff together, you have to have faith that they can put another staff together. But yes, the trickle-down effect, the cumulative effect, okay? It's like the injuries. The injuries, it's a cumulative effect, probably eventually caught up to them defensively. Could the cumulative effect of losing, you know, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Hank Fraley, Terrell Williams, you know, Brunell, Alf Spielman takes it. Like all the names that have... I mean, they're a model franchise that everybody's trying to plunder right now. It's Carson Anderson, more open line calls. Is it fair to be mad at Ben Johnson? 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, Pistons in action tonight against Atlanta. Interesting game in the Eastern Conference standings with Detroit a half game behind Atlanta for a coveted spot, the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference. It actually is coveted because you avoid the one or two seed and you avoid the play-in round. Although the play-in round could be fun just because you have a chance to win some games. Although a 6-3 matchup, wouldn't that be the Knicks? And the Pistons beat the Knicks last week. But
does that mean we have to go to Dayton?
No, there's no play. The NBA play-in tournament is not held in Dayton. That is the Dayton has locked up. This is one of the strangest things in sports to me that cracks me up. The NCAA tournament has these four play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday of the first before the first round starts.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Those games are in Dayton, Ohio annually. Whatever Dayton has pledged to make it worth the spot to go, the NCAA has said, it's all yours, Dayton. What? Like the city of Dayton, did the mayor of Dayton say, and I will run on the campaign that we will keep the play-in round of the NCAA tournament in Dayton. How has Dayton got this thing locked up?
All right, in the cradle of America.
Is it possible that nobody else wants it? I suppose, but...
They got it.
Yeah, Dayton, is this a lifetime contract Dayton has on the playing round of the NCAA tournament? Anyway, I digress. Pistons in action against Atlanta tonight. Red Wings last night with, I don't know how else to describe it, a relatively boring game. Is that a good way to put it? Was it, I mean, sports are great, but that was a boring 2-1 loss in overtime to Philly. Overtime's great. I mean, the 3-on-3 hockey. I'm watching 3-on-3.
Third period was a pretty good
period.
Yeah, and
the Red Wings had some
chances. There were chances.
Yeah, there were chances, and they didn't have a lot of chances throughout that game.
So did Philly had chances.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And maybe this has come up a million times before. I'm watching the 3-on-3 overtime last night, and I'm like, if the All-Star game, which all All-Star games have problems finding their footing, with maybe exception of the baseball All-Star game, if the All-Star game between just basically became every team sends three, you know, six players, and we're going to have a 3-on-3 tournament where the Red Wings would have a 3-on-3 team and everybody would just play. They'd bracket them off and just play. Not, you know, 5-minute games, literally five-minute games. We have two lines of players and a goalie. Would you watch that?
Yep.
wouldn't that be fun?
It would be. Because
every team represented, and that's your All-Star game.
I mean, I definitely watch
that. And then
that.
You get to pick who your six guys are. And you send a goalie, and you go to the All-Star game, and they bracket them off, and you play five-minute games.
It's easy enough to do with 32 teams, right?
Yeah. You could do it over a couple of days. That All-Star weekend? Wouldn't that be fun?
Look at you.
Kenny, you're a hockey guy. Oh, we've really digressed. But Kenny, you're a hockey guy. 3-on-3 tournament instead of an All-Star game, every team represented?
I mean, at this point, anything's different. Anything's going to be better. I mean, I'm a hockey junkie, so yeah, absolutely, I'd watch it. But anything's different. Anything's good to me.
All right. There you go. Anyway, let's get back to your phone calls. Joanne is in Detroit and on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Joanne.
Hi. Happy New Year to my two favorite men. How you guys doing today?
Doing well. Doing happy great. New Year, Joanne.
Thank you. I'm not mad at Ben Johnson for being a head coach and financially making his family stable. What I'm mad about, and I equate it to like if him going to Chicago, is if I would put on Facebook my alarm to my house and tell everybody on Facebook, hey, I'm going out of town. That's how I equate it. Because he knows the Lions playbook. He knows all the trick plays. And even if we change like a trick play from shake and bake to let's do the twist, he still knows the formation, and that's what I'm angry about.
He's taking all the company secrets with him?
Yes. Yes. Now, if he would have went to Vegas like I thought he was going to go, I wouldn't have been angry. I wouldn't even rooted for him. But for him to stay in the division, I'm really upset. Really upset. So that's my take.
Okay, fair enough. Like we said, I mean, do the Lions have now tremendous knowledge of the Bears play caller?
I mean, that they do.
Yeah.
Sure.
Does this go both ways? Sure, Ben Johnson knows the Lions personnel.
I mean, would the Lions have the advantage? Because you would think that the Lions would change things up to a degree. I mean, they'll have some same plays, but they are going to change some things.
One would imagine. 248-539-9797. Now, she said financially taking care of his family. Let's go with conservative estimates. I mean, I've seen the low end of the estimation of what Ben Johnson got is $13 million a year to go to the Bears, which makes him like a top 10 paid coach in the league. And in Detroit, there was speculation, although, no, again, no hard reporting, that you know, might have been $3 million, maybe as more as much as $4 million he was making here, but let's go ahead and call it four. If he got a 4-year deal in Chicago, which again is probably a conservative estimate, he's going to be guaranteed $52 million over the next 4 years. He would have to work in Detroit for 13 years under his old salary to make that kind of money. And many coaches don't see the end of their contracts. I mean, Ben Johnson could be in Chicago for a couple of years, get fired, and net $52 million. You go from being taken care of. The salary he was making here in Detroit was an incredible salary. He was totally taking care of his family, but he's moved into that generational wealth. It starts to impact not just your kids, but their kids. I mean, that's what he's taken here.
Yeah, I really don't have much of an issue. The only slight issue I have is it was the Bears job, but that's a me thing. It's going to bother me as a fan, but I can't blame him for taking the job. If that's when we talked about all these jobs, which was the best one out there? Well, the best offense, the ready to win offense, is the Bears. But they've got some other issues they have to work out with the front office. That's the challenge. But the money is massive. How do you turn that down? And how do you turn down the opportunity to work with somebody who you think is really talented, somebody who he saw twice this year? By the way, kind of, I'm not going to say he carved up the Lions, but didn't he throw for like 5 touchdowns and nearly 300 yards a game in the 2 games with no interceptions? Caleb Williams is a talent. He did really well. So, it sucks that he's going in division. That's the part that really hurts and stinks. And then you'll have some more opportunity to be mad if he does take some coaches with him. But those coaches would have to be elevated to business. I don't think he can take multiple. I think he can take one guy and elevate him to be his OC, and that's about it. Otherwise, they're lateral movements for coaches, and I don't think they do that.
Gator, I think the question that Doug is asking, like, are you mad at Ben Johnson? Can you be mad at Ben Johnson?
Is it fair?
Like, I think rationally, I think everyone knows why he took it or understands why he took the job. But they can still be mad, is what I'm saying. As fans, they can still be upset that he chose a job in the division. That, you know, it's crazy. Like I said, I'm not mad at Ben Johnson. I totally understand why he took the job. If these $13 million per year reports are true, he's probably making more than Dan Campbell. He's making more money than Dan Campbell, and he's never coached an NFL game as a head coach.
Well, then Dan Campbell will be happy because guess who's going to get a raise?
Maybe. I mean, Ben Johnson's entered the top 10 category. I mean, these guys, the only guys making more than him would be like Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh signed a $16 million per year contract this offseason. I mean, that's the stratosphere Ben Johnson's entering.
Which and is maybe more Dan reason Campbell, why he left.
Yeah, exactly.
248-539-9797. Derek is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Derek.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good. Thank you.
All right, listen, I'm definitely mad at Ben Johnson as a Lions fan, and I think I have a right to be. Because it's an old saying, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And, of course, he has absolutely every right to take a job and take care of his family. That's besides the point. I don't think that you can hire a staff. Like, you took the job, prepare for a game plan, all this in a matter of days. And so I think the Lions were ill-prepared because he had one foot out the door fantasizing about this $52, $53 million gig he's about to get. And you can just – the evidence is in the play calling and how the game went.
Oh, come on.
So that's my take on it.
How is the evidence in the play calling? How is the play calling in the game Saturday any different than any other game they played this year?
Run the ball.
They did run the ball until they got down by two scores.
Third and two, you pass the ball and he fumbles the ball. Then you don't – you're giving a guy who never passed in his life a flea flick or whatever. Come on, man. Now you want to get
they were going to let Penei Sewell throw a pass earlier in the season
when he wasn't distracted.
What are you talking about?
You asked me if I was mad. I'm mad. And I think it's not what you do, it's how you do
it. You can be mad, but just admit it's irrational.
I am being rational.
I said irrational because I think you're being irrational.
Okay, so listen, I don't think he prepared this team. I don't think he had time to. Period.
Okay,
I think we were ill prepared based off of his decision to leave and the way he did it. And then in 48 hours, we lose on Saturday. Monday afternoon, we find out he's taking this gig. You can't convince me that this was already in the making.
All right, I'll try a little bit here, Derek. Then how about Monday? The Bears realize, okay, Ben Johnson just got bounced. We need to make our move on our guy before anybody else does, because now he's free to do in-person interviews with any team in the country here. We got to make our move. Hey, Ben, we're going to put the full court press on you. Here's a 4-year, $13 million a year job. You want it?
Okay, but I don't think they had to press too hard.
Okay, Derek.
I don't think he had to press too hard. I don't believe that it was a Monday morning type of thing.
What if he loved the opportunity to begin with?
These things don't happen like that. These guys are professional.
These things happen like this all the time.
I don't agree with that.
Okay, Derek, I'll give you one reason. I'll tell you what. We got to get to a break. We're up against it. When we come back, though, I'm going to give you one reason why I do believe the Bears stepped it up on Monday. And we'll get to that today at 10:50. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's really cold outside. We know. Today was like the coldest day of the year. Temperatures dropped below zero last night, and the cold can really wreak havoc on what you've got going with your garage door. You got all these moving parts, springs and rollers. They're metal. They can get brittle. They can break. If your garage door is making some funny noises, or maybe it's just working really slow, or the battery is out, you need to call the experts. That's Precision Garage Door. These guys are amazing. They've come over my house a couple of times over the last 3-4 years. Some for maintenance, and then I need new garage doors. And fortunately, they picked out the perfect garage doors with me. They went over all the options, and I could not be happier. In fact, they've got a warehouse. They've got a bunch of garage doors there. They can put a new garage door in your house in as little as 24 hours in some cases. It's awesome. So if you need a new garage door or maybe just some repairs, Precision is the place. Just give them a call, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or schedule at precisiondoormi.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Kang asked us a question during the break. Are we asking people, is it fair to be mad at Ben Johnson and then getting mad at them for being mad at Ben Johnson? And the answer is probably yes.
Yeah, sorry.
But here's
you know what, Derek, I'm sorry.
Well, you're the man. Be mad.
I'm sorry. Because I wanted on my terms, which is like, I want people to admit it's like, Doug, I'm mad, and it's irrational that you're mad about it. Because in reality, the game plan, what they did this Saturday, was the same that they've done every other game this year. They run the same kinds of trick plays. And no, I didn't like seeing Jamison Williams throw the ball either. But it would have been fun to see it, just like it would have been fun if Penei Sewell had time to throw the pass. But is it ridiculous to have an offensive lineman rolling right and throwing a pass? Yes. It's more ridiculous to see that than to see J-Mo doing it.
The totality of all the trick plays was the net positive on this team, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to be 100%. Neither is every run play, every pass play, they're not 100%. For some reason, though, trick plays, when you call a trick play and it doesn't work, it feels like there's this punitive measure of you should have never called that.
Right.
Well, there's normal interceptions, too. And, you know, people say it's an unnecessary risk. And yet there were risks they took all season long. Every risk is unnecessary.
And the Lions had a pretty equitable split during the game between running and passing the ball up until the point where they got down by double digits. And then they had to change things up, and they threw it, I think it was literally 17 times in the last two drives once they got down by 17.
To our guy Derek, though, who thinks it's okay. You and Derek, I hope, are still cool. The thing about it is, you know, Derek – you made the comment of he didn't think things go down that quickly. The Bears were not the favorite to land Ben Johnson. Going into the weekend, everybody was talking about the partial owner of the Raiders being in Detroit and being around Ben Johnson. The moment the Lions lost, was Tom Brady, who was in Detroit, allowed to talk to Ben Johnson? And if you're a Bears guy, and by Bears guy, I mean, I guess just a Bears owner, if you're in the Bears ownership group or you're the GM and you want to hire Ben Johnson and you know that Tom Brady was in Detroit all weekend and Ben Johnson became available, there was a sense of urgency to act quickly.
Right. Like, did he get on a bat phone and say, hey, just so you know, I'm at Shinola.
Is that a don't take the Raiders job yet moment? That does happen where people will say, don't take that job yet until we talk.
No, but the other thing is, what's the best option for you as a coach to step in and have success right away? Is it with the Raiders that don't have a quarterback and don't have an offense to speak of? Or is it with the Bears that have the first pick from overall last year who's leading the team as a quarterback and they've got a ton of offensive help?
And both those organizations, to be clear, the Bears and the Raiders are both completely screwed with the division they're in.
Yes.
They're both completely screwed.
Well, unless he can get them up to speed. I mean, the Bears were the dog of the division, right? Mm-hmm. But they also had some fight in them. That's a team that did have Washington beat until a Hail Mary. I mean, they had some heartbreaking losses in Chicago. That's a team that needs to learn how to win. They've got talent on that team. They just had Eberflus. That was their biggest issue.
The Bears won 5 games. The Raiders won 4. The NFC North was the best division in the NFC. Yeah. The AFC West is the best division in the AFC. Those three teams in the AFC have all established good quarterbacks of various degrees. It feels like only probably 2 of the teams in the NFC, because we don't know who the Vikings are, have their quarterback figured out. Let's just say that they both have the same challenge. One of them had a partial owner in Detroit. The other one reacted. I mean, the Chicago Bears reacted like, we need to lock this up immediately. And I think it did happen very quickly.
And I think right now, we've already mentioned this a few times, but Lions fans are emotional. We're grieving still in many ways, right? And so things that they didn't have to think about before, they're thinking about now and they're bothered by it. Like allowing coordinators to interview during the playoffs. You know, I see texts every day during the show, and so many people are upset that, you know, that this is allowed, but this has been going on for years. It just never affected the Lions
before.
No one cared. But now when it affects the Lions and you'll see Aaron Glenn getting interviews during the playoffs and Ben Johnson getting interviewed during the playoffs, you're like, what the hell is this? Why is this allowed? And so people are upset. And that's why things move so quickly. As soon as you lose, man, they were after your coordinators as fast as can be.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Mike in Sterling Heights. You're next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
Before I talk about Ben, I just want to bring to people's attention you know, in the past, you know, Bo Schembechler was born in Ohio. Bo Schembechler coached under Woody Hayes as an assistant at Ohio State. Bo Schembechler was coach at Miami of Ohio, and when he left to come to Michigan, people in Ohio called him a Benedict Arnold. So we got to think about stuff like that. Rodman and Sally on the Bad Boys went to Chicago, you know, the Bulls. So stuff like this happens, man, but that's sports, man. So am I mad? Nope. We just got to get better. And what I look at from Ben Johnson's perspective, he's learned a lot to be an assistant coach. He probably walked in that head in the front office in Chicago and said, listen, if I take this job, I need some, in order for me to be the guy that y'all want me to be, give me some freaking offensive linemen. And from Ben Johnson's perspective, he probably got a playbook that he was only half able to use it because our quarterback does not have the running ability of a guy like Chicago has. So they can learn together and grow together, and they're going to open up a playbook if you get them offensive linemen. Plus, being paid $13 million a year, I ain't mad at Ben Johnson. We got to step our game up now. And the NFL rule states that in a bye week, you can talk to the coaches. So he did nothing wrong. Chicago did nothing wrong. We just got to step our game up.
Yeah, and Chicago Chicago wasn't the only team to talk to Ben Johnson. You know, Ben Johnson did several interviews via Zoom with teams prior to the week of preparation for the divisional playoff game. And I think the caller brings a great point. It's we're never happy when somebody leaves the fold.
No.
You know, never.
No.
Sergei Fedorov left. People hated Sergei for it. He got booed. Ben Wallace left for Chicago, right?
Yeah.
We weren't happy about that.
You know, the whole Chicago thing really takes a degree of, if anybody is mad, it does take a degree of rationality out of it because it's blanking Chicago.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Gibby left.
Yeah. Yep. 248-539-9797. Dave is next. Hi, Dave.
Morning, guys. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Hey, what nobody's talking about is Dan Campbell created a culture, and that's why everybody's picking his roster, because you look at the great coaches like Belichick and Reed, they all have disciples all over the NFL, and you carry what he teaches and you take it with you and you go and create other cultures. Now, you look at the Bears, you know, there were some games where they didn't even want to finish plays. So you got to create the culture. And then, you know, Dan Campbell's early in his career, and I think he's got the culture and the mindset where they want to pick his staff, so that you look at a lot of good coaches, and they're all disciples all over the NFL. You see it on CBS. You know, they say where they come from.
It's a copycat league. It's a copycat league. Look what happened with the Rams when McVay won the Super Bowl, and right before that, my God, did look at his tree, how it's branched off, and he's got head coaches all throughout the league, coordinators all throughout the league that used to work for Sean McVay. It's going to be the same thing with Dan Campbell. Now we're starting to see it. This is the first time we're seeing the coaches leave. And it's going to be like that. Ben Johnson's gone. Aaron Glenn's going to go. We're going to see Terrell Williams leave for the Patriots. We might see a couple other offensive coaches leave the fold here. And it's going to be tough for Lions fans because we liked having our family together. And yet, you know, at some point they're going to branch out on their own.
All right, Gator said he broke down and did something, and I'm intrigued to hear what it is. We'll get to that today at 11:30. We'll talk some Pistons and Red Wings before the show is done. Is it fair to be mad at Ben Johnson? Nobody seems to be mad at Aaron Glenn. Is this just simply a Chicago thing? Now, Aaron Glenn hasn't left yet, but it looks like he is going to. 97-1, the ticket.